Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And with the collapse of a former superpower,
several powerful factions now vie for control.
The threat is real. An evil organization calling itself Scar.
Known only as Scar.
Their goal?
Nothing short of total world domination.
Led by this man,
known only as Iron Claw.
We will be victorious!
Not on my watch!
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast. We're talking a little G.I. Joe Extreme, and I could not be more overjoyed that this episode of G.I. Joe Extreme was good.
Wait,
I am Ray Stakanis.
You say that as if we haven't consistently been saying that about G.I. Joe Extreme.
Look,
this
I
whole
keep
time.
Waiting. I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. I keep waiting
clearly.
For, you know, it to fall
I like
off.
How, everything about you and this podcast is like you have been traumatized. Like anytime you say you're about to start the show, you pause for a really long time because you are fully expecting me or Chan to jump in. Like we have traumatized you. And then like every episode of G.I. Joe Extreme, you're like, the G.I. Joe Extreme was nice to me today, you guys. And we're like, G.I. Joe Extreme is always nice to you, Ray. G.I. Joe Extreme isn't going to hurt you. And you're
Look,
like, but is what if it does? I don't want to open my heart again to another G.I. Joe show.
You're not wrong. Look, Deke era was a very abusive relationship. Frankly.
You have Deke PTSD.
Clearly. I do. I have PTSD.
Oh, shit. I can't believe
there.
I didn't. It was right there.
That was real good.
Right
yeah. I'm disappointed in myself. I'm retiring from writing, you guys.
There it is. Guys, I got it. I finally, I just ascended like the Highlander, and I am now a TV writer. Guys, yes, that is how it works.
That's not what I said.
Anyway, who are you people?
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito. What was the Highlander song? It was pretty rocking.
Oh, there's a Queen song. We are the kings of the universe
forever.
Yeah, something.
Because I keep thinking of like, this is the dawning of the age.
Nope.
Of
that's
I was just singing, quite honestly.
Not even a little bit.
It's something like we're the kings of our own destiny.
Oh, yeah. Is it like, here we are?
Right where we belong. Isn't that?
Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid and contagious.
Yeah, that tracks.
I'm as soon as we end this podcast, I am going to listen.
Why are you
to...
acting like you're not going to start looking at exactly what you're talking about the second I start talking again? Why are you even pretending? After the show, guys, 10 seconds later, guys, I got it.
Yeah, you're right. That is my style.
Gina has tuned out already.
I mean, that's fair. We've been talking for a good, like, 40 minutes before we...
Look, I've already watched 5 episodes of original Highlander since we've been podcasting tonight, so...
Oh, you're starting your Highlander rewatch, including all TV shows?
Yeah, Highlander rewatch in universe chronological order.
Guys, okay, so here's the deal. And you guys, hashtag boo Gina. I've been trying to get Gina to play through the Mass Effect trilogy. And she has everything at home right now to do it, all given to her by me. System, games, the whole deal. has the it all hooked up and she won't do it. But what does Gina go on social media today and say? Hey guys, I finished my 36th season Doctor Who rewatch.
Classic Doctor Who. And I called it a watch because I have only done it once and will only do it once. But I have explained this before. I love video games, but they take more concentration and effort. So sometimes at the end of the day, when I'm ready to do things, do leisure activities, I say, oh, I should play some video games. But the act of just plopping on a couch and turning on TV is much lower effort.
So this is brutal. Why they didn't come for you when the last Starfighter universe needed help.
True.
You were all like, what? Why don't they come get me? Because they don't have a universe where they need someone who's watched 36 seasons of Doctor Who.
No universe needs that.
A human who can tell us how many people died in Dalek suits over the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah, you're right. If I was recruiting for The Last Starfighter, and it was specifically for arcade games, I would not pick the person who is too lazy to play video games.
Not first on my board, at least. Let me put it out there.
They might be in the second draft after some of the people say no, and you're like, oh, God, we really got to get someone.
And like, we have full dental. Again. Come on, how? What do you think?
Yeah. So anyway, guys, hashtag get Gina into Mass Effect. That's what I've been trying to say. I'm now playing through the trilogy again with the new remaster. And the whole time I'm playing, I'm like, Gina should have really been doing this whole time.
Look, I agree. I agree that it's terribly, terribly lazy. sometimes I don't have the mental energy to get really into video games.
Yeah.
Because I know that once I do, I'll be super into it and I will want to do nothing but play it.
Sure. And I understand that feeling completely. And it's, to be fair, calling Gina lazy would be perhaps just admitting you don't know what the word lazy means. Because nobody works more than Gina Ippolito, and she does not even have a job right now.
Yeah, the amount of work you do for no pay is as someone who spent years doing regional theater, I can tell you what that looks like. You are a beast of that thing that nobody wants.
Yeah, I'm remarkably tired for being unemployed.
You know what you need to do is you need to start on a Taskmaster rewatch.
Oh,
get all 11 seasons in before the next one comes.
So, you know, those of you who are friends with me on Twitter know that I finished my Marvel Universe rewatch, and it included all TV shows, all DVD one-shots.
What about Loki? When did you finish the Loki? Where's the Loki
Gina,
up there?
Did you know Captain Marvel actually comes early in chronological order?
This is the guys are ribbing me about the nerd mansplainers on the net. But I you know, before I was a Marvel fan, I was a huge DC fan. Like if you're looking back in the day, like Batman the Animated Series, I watched the crap out of it. You know, like all the Batman movies and things like that. And since the new era of DC, the DC movie universe happened, I sort of fell behind. Like I haven't seen Suicide Squad or Birds of Prey. I did, you know, like I only watched like the first three seasons of Arrow or whatever. So I went online to the same site that I use for the Marvel rewatch thing to look at this like DC watch order. And it's so fucking bonkers. I expected it to be as organized as the Marvel universe, and it is clearly not. Anyone knows the state of DC. But I found this fucking spreadsheet that I don't know who put together.
No. Whoa. But future Mr. Gina Ippolito.
I mean, did you guys see this thing?
No, I looked at it. It was terrifying.
Oh, it goes all the way back to, and they put it in sort of universe chronological order. So it goes from Wonder Woman 2017, set during World War I. So that makes sense that is the first one.
Okay, sure.
And then it goes to Batman 1966.
Fuck yes.
And then it goes all of Batman from 1966. Oh, and then it goes The Green Hornet 1966. And I was like, oh, God, this is this is my villain origin story, because like I am a Batman villain who is called the Organizer or something. And this is what defeats me ultimately. As more properties are being added, I'm just mumbling at in Arkham Asylum in my straitjacket, saying, "Well, then you see, you Wonder Woman was set in World War One, but technically it came out 30 years after the first Batman, and is Lois and Clark isn't on the list? Is that because it's not canon? And I never
Did
watched.
Did Gina
Smallville,
become Jeff
so.
Goldblum? Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, when I go insane in Arkham Asylum, I turn into Jeff Goldblum.
You know what? Spreadsheets. Find a way.
So shout out to Channing Sherman's spreadsheet, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still haven't looked at it, but I hear it's great.
Yeah.
I'm afraid if I look at it, it'll be like a Raiders of the Lost Ark moment, and
no,
I'll just burn
look
away.
Directly at it.
I
look
can't
know.
I'm scared, Gina. I'm very scared. I don't want to look at it. It's too much. It's too much.
Channing spreadsheet. That's what the S stands for.
I love it. Oh, and for those at home, because this will be coming out this week, this Sunday. Just I'll put it out there before we actually get to the show. This Sunday, what is that, the 18th at 1 p.m. Pacific time, all patrons are invited. If you're a member of the Patreon and you can still join and join us then, it's this option is available to you. We're going to do a live on Zoom, Knowing Is Half the Podcast, where we read, which one is it? We're going to read Operation Star Raider, Find Your Fate, G.I. Joe, Choose Your Own Adventure, book number one. Since we've been doing them out of chronological order, which would make Gina very unhappy, we're going to go back. I literally got another one in the mail yesterday, guys. I keep ordering. Now, there are 20 Find Your Fate books, and I believe I own 14 or 15 of them now. The ones that are left on the list are all like $50 to $60.
This is going to be in when Melissa files for divorce.
It's
gonna
happen.
First, and she gives the judge a detailed description of why she's
a spreadsheet even. She's gonna talk to Channing Sherman and say, "Can you make me a spreadsheet of all the offenses Ray has committed against me?"
Yeah, it's going to include all the Find Your Fate books that you own and how many times you've played Mass Effect all the way through.
Look, now here's the deal. Picture the idea if she just pulls out of a duffel bag just a big pile of G.I. Joe Find Your Fate books. The judge is like, I need see no more.
Except it turns out the judge is like a big Find Your Fate book fan, and he's like, "Sir, I'm awarding you sole custody of your child."
I myself, much like Gina, I do not have a job. I think that is a fair. My contract ended, and so now I am currently looking. And I will tell this quick story because fuck it, like we'll talk about the show at some point. But I did an interview at a gaming company. And the very first thing is I have a setup for my Google profile is my Sergeant Slaughter picture. And the very first thing that happens when I started the interview with this company is, "Oh shit, Sergeant Slaughter, I love G.I. Joe. Let's talk about G.I. Joe." And I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me right now? Is this real life? Did I pass out? And this is my idea of what a perfect day is?" It was perfect.
I'm not going to lie. This has definitely helped me get jobs before.
Which is so dumb. That's so dumb.
Because it is shorthand for like especially if I'm applying for animated show jobs or things like like a Robot Chicken style job. I mean, knowledge of 80s and 90s cartoons goes a long way in the nerdy writing world. So
I'm infuriated that both of you have gotten jobs out of this goddamn podcast that I have put so much of my life and energy into and received nothing in return.
Yeah, it is. It does seem like it's inversely correlated to how much work we've put in.
Like, I don't know about that, Gina. I feel like I put at least as much work in as Robert Clark Chan.
Oh, really? I don't know. I the technical stuff to me seems the hardest, and to me that's what Chan does, so I have no idea.
Look, you've done 60% of the work that I've done, Ray. I'm not going to sell you short and say that you haven't done anything, but...
You know what? I'm fine with that. So today's episode that we're talking about is called Relics. It's episode number 6 of G.I. Joe Extreme. And how about this live action sequence? Finally, we get some cool shit. We get a dude fighting a robot.
Yeah, I was excited it was back because the last couple ones we got, they really cheaped out.
Very lame.
But, and once again, I was delighted to find that it still looks exactly like just two sketch comedians in a black box theater, or one sketch comedian who sort of made a robot out of like spray painted boxes and some blue.
Was that CGI or was that practical?
No, I honestly
could not tell. Was it? Okay.
It was 100% practical.
It looked very realistic.
He knocks it down at the end and it's like the flattest noise I've ever heard. But yeah, it still delights me because it's so cheesy and ridiculous. That this
are we going to talk about the fact that he punched that robot in the nuts?
Okay, we should. We should. Yeah, he did.
Was I the only one that didn't notice that?
I guess you just don't notice nut shots like
people
who have a vested interest in this sort of thing do.
That's weird, because anytime I see a robot, I'm only staring at their crotch because I want to know what it's working with.
Sure.
And I mean, that is a true statement. But weirdly enough, yeah, you must have blinked and missed it when Sergeant Savage punched this robot square in the dick.
Was it? Are you sure it was like that? Or was it like, oh, this is his control box that sits on his pelvis?
Gina, how did you know what I call my penis? I saved that talk for the bedroom.
Jan, are you forgetting about your poetry slam in the late 90s?
Yes, I was. Hair was not conducive to sex, so I try and...
Oh, my God. Well, we have our, our theme song happens after this, and really cool moment. So this is a pretty cool episode, pretty cool plot. It opens up with a base attack, but I think it's a base. It turns out it's a high maximum security prison, which only hosts one inmate. His name is Dr. Gervin. And
Gervin or Gerben?
I heard Gerben because I was like, Goebbels? Okay.
Yes, that was what I was thinking this whole fucking time, too. I was like, this dude is fucking Goebbels. Because it is, and let me tell you, this is a dark episode, and I like it for it.
Yes.
But like immediately when they start out, and it's like, oh, there's one old guy who's a war criminal and German in his own prison. That's how dangerous and horrific he is. And they say something like, oh, like he did experiments against like on people. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a fucking Nazi war criminal.
I came up with the fact that he was a Nazi way late in the game because I started because Sergeant Savage is like, this guy did experiments on me in Germany 50 years ago. And I was like, okay, that doesn't make him a Nazi. Wait a minute, 1995 minus 50 years.
The one white guy in his podcast was willing to overlook Nazism.
Well, you forget that you're watching a period piece.
3 years into the war, Ray is like, wait a minute. Maybe these Nazis I've been having coffee with every day aren't good guys.
Are we the baddies?
Maybe these Nazis aren't so good. What do you think, Henry Ford?
But yeah, this, and then it like immediately, yikes. it's like, oh shit, the bad guys are breaking out a guy that's in a prison all by himself, clearly a Nazi who did fucking like eugenics experiments and terrible things. And then we get a flashback of Sergeant Savage being tortured by this guy. And yes. I was all in on this episode. Yeah. Like 1 minute in, I was like, oh shit. It is on. But also, did we not address anything from the last episode of, did I just miss it?
Nothing was mentioned, no.
This is episodic. Okay. It's not straight up, you know, like, episode to episode, we're going to be following along thing. So it's just, it's there.
But it's not serialized, but I was hoping for at least a mention, and I wasn't sure if I missed one.
I didn't hear one.
So there's no like basically in the last episode they sort of discovered that they kind of discover who Claw is.
I don't say kind of. They know who Dr. Claw is.
They were basically like, if this is true, we're in a whole shit ton of trouble.
Right.
But they're pretty sure, and I was like convinced that it would not directly lead from it, but like that there would be like a all right, we're going to deal with this Claw character, but right now there's an escaped Nazi that's going to perform cryogenic experiments on the Jews pretty soon, so we should focus on that right now.
Is Sergeant Savage Jewish?
Oh, I mean, maybe.
I was just assuming he was like a prisoner of war, like he was a soldier.
That was my thought as well.
That they captured, and it gets even darker because like spoiler alert at the end, you know, he's talking to Goebbels, and Goebbels is like, "Oh, I ruined your life, the wife and child you never saw again," and I was like, "What? Are you kidding me?"
That's
fucking
rough.
G.I. Joe cartoon just was like, oh yeah, whatever we fucking did to this dude in like Nazi Germany.
It was real bad.
Well, okay, here's the deal though. And I'm going to say this because this episode was fine. Obviously, we're not approaching Deke levels by any stretch of the imagination.
Not even
but
close.
But in general, this was an episode that was just there.
I thought you would have loved it. You love Dark.
He is not the first character in this series to be experimented on and getting superpowers or whatever. Although I appreciate that we're sort of like explaining a little bit how these people are doing these just amazing physical feats.
Mm-hmm. They don't specify what was done to him.
They do not, although
that's what I'm confused by, because now maybe Chen, maybe you could load it up, but can we hear them say the person's name so we could figure out once and for all what it is? Because I really thought I was hearing Gervin, but I could have been Gerben. I would love
Chan
to hear
and
it again.
I both heard Gerben, and we knew that they were Nazis from the start, so.
I came for Dr. Gerben.
Man, I guess it says Gerben. I heard it both ways.
If only
they had said it 140 times during the episode.
But you know what? Let's hear all 140. Chan, you got a super cut for us. Hear all 140.
If only there was some machine we were all sitting in front of.
Did you find the name? Because I actually looked.
Dr. Reinhard Gerben with a B.
Oh,
so
where are you?
Okay, that makes sense.
I will send it to you.
All right.
To be fair, when you guys were saying Goebbels, I guess it makes sense to just go for it with Gerben.
Yeah, and also Goebbels was the head of propaganda. He wasn't the crazy doctor.
You know.
Shit, so. Like, but then also you don't want to call him like Dr. Bengala and then like, okay,
Dr. Bengala.
It's pretty on the nose already. Let's just not go nuts.
Yeah, I had the exact same thought process where I was like, oh, okay, this is supposed to be Goebbels, but Goebbels wasn't the medical guy. But Chan and I had the exact same. We went down the same Nazi rabbit hole.
Like you do. Like
You know what, guys? I don't trust my browser history being the only white dude on the show.
If I start going down the Mein Kampf avenue,
it ends badly. I'll just say.
I just sent you the proof. It is Gerben with a B.
Yep. Here's the deal. I will concede this point. And
you
great
better.
Job, Gina. I have decided to allow you to be correct.
I'm surprised because to me, Chan, yes, there was other talk of experimentation, but the fact that this is like throughout this episode, Sergeant Savage is having like flashbacks and panic attacks, whatever that line is at the end about like the wife and child you never saw again, whatever they did to him. Which when they show it, it sort of seems like Wolverine-esque experiments. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of doctors standing around him, and he's strapped down, and he's screaming. So it gave me shades of Wolverine. But whatever they did to him, either like he couldn't see his family again, or like I don't know what
Gina,
it was.
Gina, he is an expert in cryogenics.
That's
Sergeant
what I was
Savage
about to ask. Yeah,
was experimented on in the 40s. He is here now, still young, in the 90s.
Okay, so he's the Captain America of this.
He is the Captain America, which is fine, but it's not revolutionary because Captain America already did it.
You guys want a
kids cartoon, and the scenes of him being experimented on are kind of horrific for a kids cartoon, which is
I'll grant you that. Yeah,
a lot of close-ups of his fucking terrified face. and then him sort of looking at nameless doctors and soldiers around him as he's strapped down and his eyes are bulging. And it's very disturbing, but yeah, like I thought for sure Chan would be all over this shit.
Yeah. If I could read from the G.I. Joe fandom Sergeant Savage page, okay, this should clear up everything.
Oh, good.
A hard charger from the so-called greatest generation, Robert Savage, joined up in the waning days of 1942, ready to fight the good fight. A survivor of Omaha Beach and an infantry commander renowned for his skill, Savage was listed KIA, killed in action, after a German science facility he and his squad attacked exploded. However, in 1995, a documentary crew doing a special on the super science of the Third Reich stumbled upon cryogenically preserved body of Savage.
Hosted by
Hector Ramirez. Hector Ramirez, absolutely, yeah. After being revived and acclimated to the changes time had brought. Ooh, bad sentence. Savage was remanded to the custody of the G.I. Joe team for observation. Within a year, however, he left the team, his screaming eagles in tow, and now operates second in command, blah, 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 blah. So this would be taking
place.
This is
exactly like Captain America.
It is exactly Captain America, yeah. The only difference is, like, the Nazis very specifically cryogenically froze Sergeant Savage.
Yeah.
And to be fair, this is, you know, 1995 or whatever. It's not like
Captain America wasn't common
in 2015,
back then we were aware of Captain America, but we didn't know him as a friend like we do today.
But also I don't know, they haven't really gone into the backstory of any of these characters, which to be fair they never did in like original Sunbow.
I disagree completely.
I mean, they did for certain characters, and eventually, like with Lowlight and things like that, it was like, oh shit, this guy's messed up.
Well, yeah, that was
and you got episodes eventually, but like how I didn't know any of that stuff before this episode. He was just sort of a faceless goon in this squad.
No, that's true.
It's interesting that they had this detailed backstory.
Here's the thing. There was a 22-minute cartoon called Old Soldiers Never Die, mm-hmm. that was produced to advertise the Sergeant Savage toy line.
Oh, okay.
So, like,
we've done the Sergeant Savage pilot. We've done it on this show before.
Was that the episode that we watched?
Probably, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, maybe we were.
I remember we did Patreon only, but it was a while ago. I believe it was our friend of the show, Brian Rapp, suggested that one to us, and we did it since it was G.I. Joe adjacent, and we weren't on a trajectory to hit it. So he kind of put that in front of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That makes more sense then, because I was just like, wow, they're dropping a lot of knowledge about this character that we've spent like six episodes with and just assumed was sort of I don't recall anything about him.
Yeah, and there's no way a kid in the 90s would have like been able to like find that and known all of this continuity and shit like that.
That's true.
You know, but it was it was a thing that it did exist.
I would say G.I. Joe Extreme is doing it, because remember we had the other episode of Extreme where the guy had his brother was and he used to be a member of joining Iron Claw, and his brother like had the experiment done on him and he had to like fight him. I mean, that was a previous episode of this. So I think they are doing a little bit of backstory work for these guys. Yeah. You know,
I guess
I would give him more credit than that.
Yeah, you're right.
And now that we're, you know, 40 minutes into this episode and we've done the first scene, maybe I'll progress the plot just a little bit more. Although this has been wonderful backstory and talk.
Here's the thing. Gina has already admitted twice that you are correct. I don't even understand why you're bothering to finish the episode. You have everything that you need, Ray.
It's just filler.
I mean, but no, also you were very wrong about Gerben.
Yeah, I got that name. I got that name wrong, and so now I have to like. I need Gina to say five times that I'm right in this episode, just to make up for that one lapse in judgment. But one good thing I want to say right here, and one thing that, again, this is so much better than Deke, is the character of Rampage, who we've seen before. He's the guy who hulks out, basically. He becomes we see he's the one leading this base attack to get Dr. Gerben, and he is able to get him. And then when the security team kind of turns around and tries to come back, he's moving Gerben already, or they're moving Gerben offside, I should say, when he's attacking. But then he's able to meet them before they can get away, and he has a successful mission getting Gerben out as a special forces type of mercenary that he is. It
competent.
Makes me happy to see competence exactly in my G.I. Joe villains, because we've never got that for two seasons.
Yeah, you know? I also dug that there are sort of shades of a Destro double cross here, mm-hmm. because at some point Rampage is basically like, oh shit, if the good guys take out Claw, there's going to be a power vacuum that I can mm-hmm. slip in and fill. And I was like, ooh, nice thinking. I do think that this is like dating an average guy after dating a really shitty guy. Like, everything that they do impresses you just because Deke was so terrible. But now I'm like, ooh, there's layers to this TV writing story that should always have layers.
I love it, though. You know, I appreciate the fact that, like, these characters are given any time to talk about their inside thoughts at all. Is just like, what were we getting out of Metalhead for two seasons? Bang! You know, it's just
I enjoy a smart villain, and when he's trying to squeeze Claw for extra dough, by saying I got all this cool shit, you need to pay me for it, and then later on when he's like, maybe I'll just let them capture him and then scoot on into that power position, I was like, all right, this guy's smart. He's Tomax and Zaymot style.
Yeah, and the competence when he's dealing with Iron Claw, right? He says, look, you wanted me to get you Gerben. So here's the deal. I got Gerben, but on top of it, I also got you this underground base filled with all the equipment you need to do the shit you need, and I got you Gerben, so why don't we cut a bigger check for me? I was like, I really like this guy.
Yeah, yeah, same.
You know, so cutting ahead, there's a moment where Sergeant Savage and another guy, I didn't really see who it was, they're basically like, we got to go get Gerben, we got to stop it. And the guy turns to Savage and goes, why do we need Gerben? He's so weak and old. Like, you don't need him to fight people. That's not the point, dude. We don't need a cage fighter. No, he's like 90. Like,
but
what
he
are
does
you talking
look,
about?
The way they make him appear is... like I was spending some time being like, does this dude even know what the fuck is up? I mean, he's been alone in a prison for probably decades.
Yep.
Also, it's a really big prison with like the normal number of prison cells.
Yes, it is.
For only
that
one guy,
weird.
It seems
that was
excessive.
Weird.
I was just assuming they had a lot of old Nazis there and they slowly died out.
Oh, wow. Shit. You know what? Oh, okay.
I could see that. Yeah.
But you they like, what? But yeah. they're, you know, they were just like, well, why bother transporting this one last guy? He's probably going to die soon anyway.
I don't know. Could we reduce the number of staff then, maybe? Because
you know what? No.
I mean, he's pretty dangerous. Like, I'm surprised dude wasn't, to be honest, like if there's an old Nazi someplace, I'm surprised they haven't been accidentally murdered in prison.
I mean, that's true. I would say, Chan, you know, they've got the budget for X number of years already planned out. So what right. I see you hate jobs. That's all I hear.
but you know what I like is that they discover Agra Khan frozen in ice.
Okay, how about that for a plot point?
Yeah, and I was like, okay, so on original Sunbow era, they just got all the DNA from like Genghis Khan and all the world leaders. In this one, they just fucking found the dude.
They found the dude in a cave encased in ice.
They were like, yo, this guy worked with Genghis Khan. We could just revive him. Screw making a whole new crazy-ass Serpentor dude. Let's just revive this one dude, and I bet he's a great military strategist.
I mean, that was kind of wild because he's related to Genghis Khan. He was Genghis Khan's like number one general, I think they were saying. Now,
He's not related to Genghis Khan.
His name is Agra Khan. What are you
like
talking
Khan
about?
Khan is... It's not...
Ray.
Yeah,
Khan is the equivalent of king.
No, no, Khan is his last name.
King George is obviously related to King Kong Bundy.
That's his Dan, that's his first name. Don't be ridiculous. Look, King George obviously is related to NBA superstar Paul George because that's how things actually work. So the fact that this is a relative of Genghis Khan.
It's not a relative.
His last name is Khan.
It's not a last name. It's Agra. A title. It's a title.
You don't put title second. You don't say, hi, my name is Ray Doctor. That's not how anything works, Gina. What are you talking
sense.
About?
This makes sense why you associate with why you have the most sympathy for the Nazis in this, because you don't know how other cultures work.
What the H just happened? How did I become a Nazi sympathizer of this show? Look, I know I'm the whitest.
Perfect.
I don't think that's fair.
Wikipedia page. Genghis Khan was the founder and first great Khan, in parentheses, emperor of the Mongol emperor.
Of the Khans, he was the greatest, you know?
Oh, my God. He's the patriarch of all the Khans. Oh, my God.
Also related to the great Muda, a fine wrestler from Japan.
First name. You don't get related by first name. Don't be weird.
You know that names like Leonardo da Vinci means Leonardo of Vinci, right?
His last name is Da Vinci. His first name is Leonardo. Everybody knows this. He's related to all the Da Vincis, of which there are none, because that bloodline died out years ago.
Well, there's Da Vinci Code, who's been doing a lot of stuff.
The code is what order last names appear in other...
Look, I know that Da Vinci wrote a book about picking up women, but we you know, we don't need to necessarily dive deep into it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Now I'm just picturing Da Vinci with a bag over his head and what is the dude's name? Like Mystery or something?
I think that feels right. Yes. I'll pretend I haven't read it.
Oh my God. This is terrible.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Pick your mean cobra, wake you meet Slaughter's Marauders.
Slaughter's Marauders camouflage, they can't be seen. But you better believe, let me.
There's me, and Spirit, and Footloose, on the attack.
Slaughter's Marauders to the rescue.
Hey, Smith!
Go!
Nobody beats G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, Slaughter's Marauders.
Equalizer, Armadillo, and Lynx, figures sold separately.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. Yo, Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, we have Agra Khan, and they thaw him out. They said, we're going to thaw this guy out. This is great. So, Sergeant Savage, who's been, tucked in, he's been invading the base this entire time, he goes in, murders a whole bunch of robots. It's like, cool. He comes in, and this is where, this only now is where I was like, oh, shit, this guy's a Nazi. So, look, I'm a little behind the rest of you, and the world even, as far as figuring out what exactly is going on here. I did appreciate the moment where they're trying to load Khan into the rejuvenation chamber and the robots fucking drop him, which I thought was hilarious. I thought that was really fun. And that Iron Claw's like, what the fuck is going on? You give me robots and they're dropping this dude. Like, we don't have another. This is valuable. Like, what is happening? And I did laugh out loud when that whole sequence went down. It brought me joy. So Sergeant Savage fights more robots at this point. These robots have laser swords, so you know it's awesome. And all of the bad guys sort of escape because they're just like, we can't mess with Savage. We can't mess with this guy. At which point, Mayday shows up. The Lady Joe does not seem to have injured her leg in this episode. So we're now three for six.
And can I just say that when she sort of bursts onto the scene and she's flying in, she says something like, the cavalry's here. And I cannot be the only one that will never, ever be able to hear
you are the only
like
one,
that,
Gina.
That again without
you are the only one.
Melinda May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The only one.
No, I guarantee you, everyone across the world, anytime the word cavalry is mentioned.
Mm-hmm. No, I honestly, I was just like, oh, she brought horses. But that's not what happened. She had an airplane. God.
And the horses were their last names were Khan. So they were all related to Gina. Genghis Khan.
Gina. Their last names were horse. Don't be weird. No, what I did think was a little bit crazy was she's like, all right, buck up, everybody. The cavalry's here. And then, like, there was no battle. There was no battle to be had. The bad guys had already packed up on a plane that Sergeant Savage jumped onto the landing gear and got inside the plane. And the bad guy plan takes off as she's showing up. And it's like, oh, we're done.
I feel like she shoots some shit.
I think she did shoot some robots or something, but it was basically like, oh, I shot my wad in this moment and it was too early and good night, everybody. Cause I do not believe we see Mayday again in this episode.
Yeah, I don't think so. But to be fair, we don't see most of the others.
No, this is a Sergeant Savage, you know, personal episode. I think that's fair. Okay. So they get to the new base. And the new base is all set up. Sergeant Savage is now there with the bad guys. They do successfully thaw out Agri-Khan. And yeah, what I appreciated, yeah, go ahead.
They do this in a very interesting way too, yes. which I thought was like, you know, they were trying something and was kind of clever. They thaw him out in sort of montage form instead of like, right. You know, the normal, very slow, drawn out, like, oh, he's thawing out. Yes, yes, he's here. They show it like no dialogue and intercut mm-hmm. with Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Savage is watching it and it's giving him flashbacks to the time when he was frozen. So you're seeing
pretty
him
cool.
being frozen as Agri-Khan is being defrosted. And both are shown with no dialogue, and you're seeing one very horrific scene of Savage, you know, surrounded by all of these soldiers and all these men and this doctor who is still there now. And I thought it was a very cool way to do it, which helped keep this pace of this episode, because normally it would have been a very drawn out thing, but they got, mm-hmm. it was a very, especially like, again, for just a kind of a low budget 90s cartoon. Like they were trying something in a different way. And I appreciate that someone took the time to say, like, what if we did it in this cool intercut montage way of showing his trauma as we're showing, you know, this terrible man be defrosted.
Yeah, and the other thing I appreciated was the fact that go ahead, Chan, sorry.
All of the things that you just said, that entire sequence, the only thing I have written in my notes is rockin' riffs. We should probably note that that is the soundtrack for this intensely emotional post-traumatic stress disorder flashback sequence, and also the reviving of an abomination of nature.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought it worked because to me this music feels very noise torture-y.
Uh-huh.
Like they Fair. Put you in a room with and they like don't let you sleep and just bombard you with bright lights and play really loud music. You know, the way the U.S. The way the good guys torture people in war is what I'm saying.
The way real patriots yeah. do it. Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah.
A little bit of Ted Nugent to loosen them up.
And I realized that probably was not their intention for this montage, but it did sort of lead to this like horrific, disjointed torture, you know, like you can't escape from this claustrophobic feeling. So this was the one time when I thought the 90s like metal riff music was appropriate and somewhat interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well,
the thing I appreciated was the fact that Gerben had second thoughts. He was like, guys, this is kind of bad. I don't know that we should be doing this, guys. This is pretty bad.
This is actually the one I understand why they did it. Because the alternative would be horrific. This is the one thing I did not like about this.
Interesting.
I want to see that old Nazi be a fucking old Nazi. Like I want to see him being terrible instead of being redeemed, because there is no redemption for old Nazis. I'm going on record with this hot take. You should be executed. And I don't believe in the death penalty, but for old Nazis, I'll make an exception. But I thought it would have been much. Again, I understand they did this because there needs to sort of be a voice of reason and the idea that, oh, this time in prison has changed him to be a better, gentler man. But like I thought it would have been much more interesting and true to old Nazis if he was just like, you know, if Sergeant Savage was sort of there and he was like, you ruined my fucking life. And his justification was like, the ends justify the means. Mm-hmm. It was war. I made this great medical breakthrough, which is what all of those guys always say when they justify their torture.
It's true.
Which is, we made all of these medical breakthroughs. It's like any type of like Tuskegee thing. They genuinely think that, you know, like, oh yeah, this might be bad for some people, but the ends justify the means, and think of how many people we'll be helping. And so I would have loved for him to have just been into it. Like, you know, even if he had started as like, I don't know if this will still work. He's been frozen for so long. And then he gets defrosted and this old Nazi is like, yes, I'm still a genius. Like, look at what this did. And then being,
I still got it, baby.
Exactly. Exactly. And then being confronted, but like being confronted by the guy whose life he ruined, and then like sort of helping him and being like, I'm a good guy now. And the guy being like, oh, yeah, you are. It's all right that my wife and kid died long ago and I never saw them. And I have PTSD. And the only thing I'm good for is this weird ragtag group with a woman who always injures her ankle and other people I can't really remember. But like that to me is sort of a cop out, especially like for Nazis. That was the only thing that I didn't like. But it is also sort of the one thing in this that makes it a kids cartoon, which is like, everyone's redeemable, kids.
I would only say that if we did it your way, we miss out on the one interaction, which is Gerben. He says, I don't think we should get this, you know, ancient general, because this Iron Claw guy doesn't seem very nice. To which they responded back like, really? You really don't have any excuse whatsoever for not, you know, not helping somebody because they're not nice. And he's like, all right, you know, touche, I get it. All right. And that kind of made me giggle a little bit when they kind of just threw that back in his face and he was like, I can't fight it. which I did enjoy that moment. I did.
In keeping with sort of the darkness of this episode, which is what I liked, I would have just loved for him to sort of get bloodthirsty again and be all about that sweet, sweet research and what this means and how he's a genius and all of these things, instead of being like, all right, I'll help you. I'm almost dead. I'm 90 something, but I'll help you now. Oh, I had come to my senses in the 1940s before I killed all of those people.
What kills me is the guy only seems like he's like in his what, like early 60s, late 50s on the show. He's got to be 80 plus, right? Like, it's a little bit crazy.
He's a master of cryogenics.
But he's been in prison. Did they just let him just like freeze himself in the cell? I guess it makes him easier to keep tabs on.
I mean, here's the thing. He could have been a Doogie Howser type, and then he might be in his 60s.
Could have been. Although he looked exactly the same in the flashback as he did today, which maybe should have been to what Chan just said, a clue.
Look, I know it's a cartoon, but old man makeup is hard.
We know what Nazi Doogie Howser looks like because we've all seen Starship Troopers.
That's true. That's true.
Not the same guy.
He's afraid.
Now, I will say there's a great battle here at the end where Aga Khan fights Sergeant Savage. You knew this is where we were going. And I appreciate that Aga Khan has honor. And he says, I'm going to give you one of my swords so we can have a sword fight. Now, never mind the fact that Sergeant Savage has no effing clue what to do with the sword. And Aga Khan is going to cut him to ribbons. It was pretty cool that he showed the honor in that battle. And then they had that fight. Now, what ends up happening is they fight for a while. This is crazy to me because everyone's in this room together. These two are fighting. Savage finally gets over, throws Aga Khan back into the cryogenic chamber again. Gerben runs over, starts the machine. And in my head, I'm just like, where the fuck is literally everyone else in this room when all of this is happening? No one's got tabs on Gerben. No one's got tabs in the machine. Everybody's too far away to do literally anything at all to help anybody. It drove me a little bit nuts, but I was like, ah, F it. Let's go with it. Because Gerben finally turns on the machine, and then Iron Claw, or was it Iron Claw or Rampage? One of them walks over and Finder's like, hey, don't do that. And I'm like, a little late. You're a little late, dude. You got to have awareness. You got to have situational awareness.
I mean, here's the thing. It's a good commentary on how easily ignored the elderly are.
Mm. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Levels. This thing's got levels.
What's amazing here is they freeze him at the end of this battle, obviously. Gerben feels real bad about what he did. And Savage is like, man, it's okay. Get this fucker back to prison.
I mean, I'm glad that he at least like went back to prison.
He's like, be lenient. Like, what? They weren't beating him anyway. So I mean, it's like you know,
yeah,
your life still sucks. Get out of here. Like Savage is, you know, I think Savage is reasonable, but definitely not charitable. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he does. You know, like there is sort of the idea in the end that because this old Nazi sort of feels bad and helped them. This guy can put all of that torture and death behind him.
No.
Which is like not great. But again, this episode was you know, it was a B+ of episodes. It would have been an A if that Nazi had been ruthless like I wanted him to.
Fair. This guy had 50 years to reflect on really shitty things that he did. I could see a part of him being like, wow, I do suck. I mean,
this
so
is
like,
why you're a white guy, right? This is why you didn't recognize the Nazi in the beginning.
It took me a little bit to recognize it. I will acknowledge that flaw in myself.
No, this is, do you think in, you know, 50 years, well, he'll be dead, but like Donald Trump is going to be like, wow, like guys that are that resolute in their rightness aren't going to, like, the guys that reform in prison are the ones who like commit a robbery and then are like, shit, all right, I shouldn't have done that. I've come to God. It's not like the fucking Nazi torturers who
I tell you what, let's put Donald Trump in prison for the next 50 years.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see what he's like when he gets out to do a mission. Let's just see how he's feeling. If he still feels the same way, that can be our litmus test for this whole
thing. Yeah, all right. That sounds good to me.
Is that fair? That's fair.
For
that's
it.
Fair. Yeah.
That is the end of the episode. Like, they pretty much just like and cut and run on this episode. Like, they were no time for any epilogue or anything like that. We did get two straight episodes where somebody's basically like, we have to keep going forward, which I appreciated that from Wing Commander Academy. And now I appreciate it here from G.I. Joe Extreme. But guys, let's talk about the PSAs, because we were given two for the price of one on this episode.
One was new and one was a repeat.
That is correct. We're not going to talk about the glasses one. Look back to a previous episode to get our take on that. Let's talk about Life Jacket.
This was actually the first one that like made sense.
Okay.
Of the PSAs. Like, I was like, yeah, this is a good lesson. There's basically a kid in a boat. They're going boating, like, you know, whitewater rafting or whatever it is. And he's putting on his life jacket. And one of the other kids, he's like, fucking nerd, I don't need it. And then they hit a rock and the bully goes flying. And for some reason, they don't just let him drown and die like I would
Should've.
They, for some reason, rescue him. And they're like, hey, wear a life jacket. And I was like, yeah, this is, especially because it was followed by the nonsensical kid getting glasses one.
It was so weird.
Like, I was like, yeah, this is a clear-cut message to kids. If you're on the water, wear a life jacket is much more straightforward.
It's nice.
Than like the one where they're like building a clubhouse and the clubhouse falls apart because they're lazy or whatever the lesson was there. Or the one after this, which was like, I'm quitting baseball. And it's like, no, kids, you just need some glasses. Like, honestly, this one was the most straightforward. It's a message I understood and could get behind.
You know, I will just say the one thing that I really pulled away with this is that the kid's like, oh, you fucking nerd, I'm not wearing a life jacket. And then where are they? Are they out like in the cruising the darkest parts of the Florida Everglades?
Yes,
like they're not just on a lake somewhere. Are they by Zartan's house? Is that
no?
Where we're
they're
going?
Like what? They're like going like whitewater rafting down a river.
They're going up the river to find Colonel Kurtz. They're going to assassinate him.
That's just it. Like I didn't put Apocalypse Now in there, but now I'm glad you did, Chan, because that's exactly. I'm just like, where the fuck are these kids going? How did they get there? Thank God G.I. Joe was in the area because they were about to get killed by pirates. Like, this is not okay, kids.
Have you guys never been whitewater rafting down?
Fuck no. Are you kidding me? That's outside. I would never do
what
that.
What is wrong with you? It's so fun. And
you know
it's
what's
usually
fun?
Through,
being indoors.
It's usually through woods. As someone who like one of the times I went whitewater rafting, it was like right after really heavy rains. And they warned us that we could go under and flip, and we did. And they told us what to do to not die, and it was really fun.
Oh, it was real fun, you guys, when we fucking almost died. Hey, you know where I didn't capsize? My couch playing Mass Effect.
First of all,
that's where I didn't capsize, Gina.
No one died. I got flung so far in the air and came crashing down into the water, and it was so fun. And I did. I followed all the instructions, and I had a life jacket on, so I didn't die. But it was, you know, you're in the middle of woods going down whitewater rafting. So this is not an odd setting. This is where you go whitewater rafting.
This is an upsettingly weird setting for this. I was not. I was unnerved.
You two are so weird.
I was expecting a guy playing dueling banjos on a deck somewhere. Down
both,
the river.
I've never seen it, but I'm pretty sure the plot of Kimmy Schmidt is based on you guys. Like, you just emerged from like a basement where all you had were video games and wrestling shows.
God, that would be awesome.
And you're like squinting into the light, and people are like, hey, you ever been to a baseball game? And you're like, no, it sounds terrible. And it's like, hey, you ever been whitewater rafting? No, it sounds terrible. Let me just play Mass Effect and masturbate for the 90th time.
Gina, you just described my entire 20s. So weirdly enough, that was it.
I don't understand the tone because you're saying completely reasonable things.
Correct. Yeah.
It sounds
wish I would
terrible.
Have had that much
you
time.
Both had a terrible life. Do more shit is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do plenty of shit from the comfort of my own home.
Oh, terrible.
Tell you what, how many Gina. Galaxies I've been to and how many worlds I've saved, Gina? Thank you.
We're going to go out and do more shit. You have a kid and raise a human being.
You both have kids who are under four. What's your excuse for all those other years?
I was prepping for the time when I wouldn't be able to leave the house by not leaving the house.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I did real well in the pandemic because I was totally okay with staying inside and only talking to people online. My whole life has been training for this.
You're not wrong.
And I'm passed through flying fucking colors.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, I actually saw Chan. He actually like got a jersey made, Go Delta Strain, just because he wanted to prolong this shit even longer. It was really inappropriate, Chan, is what I'm trying to say. Inappropriate.
I mean, look, it had the little counter at the bottom with the number of deaths going up, and that was maybe a little bit too much. But I feel like the rest of it, generally tasteful.
Okay. I mean, y'all can do that. I will be camping and whitewater rafting and doing fun shit while you try to get the Delta virus so you can stay indoors.
That's not how it works, but yeah, okay.
Close enough. I'm fine with that. Yeah, I don't hate not leaving the house, to be fair. It's fine. That's where all the scary things are, Gina.
Terrible, terrible.
And that's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. G.I. Joe Extreme Relic, episode 6 here on Knowing is Half the Podcast. Guys, this was, I think we're all in agreement, this was a pretty good episode of television.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Still shocked Chan did not.
Not as much as we did, but I don't think he hated it. Like, come on.
I did not.
I guess that's the best we can hope for from Chan.
That's all the best we can hope for. Now, I will say we asked last week for people to please give us crossover ideas, and we got some. Some people have reached out with some crossovers, and I think we're going to try to do some crossovers based on these suggestions coming up.
I mean, one of those suggestions is a legit good crossover.
Yeah, no, X-Men and Spider-Man from the 90s. That's solid. I'm into
it. That's a good crossover.
Talk about that. We've done episodes of Spider-Man and his amazing friends. We've done episodes, plural, of X-Men before. This would be a delight, you know.
I think we may have done an episode of the 90s Spider-Man. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
That's not Spider-Man and his amazing friends. It's just...
Well, no, we did the one from the 70s earlier this year. Yeah, that's what I remember.
80s, not the 70s.
It felt like
the 90s Spider-Man was tight. I used to watch it after school with X-Men and Batman the Animated Series, and it was good.
I never got into it, so I would be interested to check it out.
It's a good, like, if you're ever just... I've been rewatching the Justice League cartoon as well as the Avengers cartoon, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes specifically, and Justice League, just Justice League, not Justice League Unlimited, although that's also fantastic.
I hope the series is actually called Just Justice League.
Oh, please!
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, it's like Oops All Berries.
Oops, All Justice League.
Oops, All Justice League.
I'd be into it. Can I say, though, what I've been getting into, since we're talking about it, is the DC animated movies. And I've been just kind of picking them up and watching them as we go. I just watched one called Gotham by Gaslight,
they're all on HBO.
Are they on HBO now, too? Yeah, I just bought it randomly digitally. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was very good.
Go before you spend any money. Do you pay for HBO Go or HBO Now?
Of course I do. Of course I have the HBO Max.
They have a whole category that's just DC.
I might have to check that out to see some I missed. Yeah.
Oh, it's all the animated shows, movies. It's got all the good Batmans and then all the new, you know, like Snyders and things like that.
I've watched maybe, I would say, a half dozen of these animated DC movies, and every single one has been good. So I don't know what's happening, but their animation department has just been killing it for years.
Harley Quinn was one of the best shows of last year.
I need to watch that.
Oh, it's so good, dude. It's so good. Like, yeah, it's not about a guy.
There's no men. Like, Gina, there are plenty of men.
He plays a prominent. Also, just the way like Sharkman is written, and
King Shark
and Sid. The old is Sid his name? The old
Sid
the
man
old guy, voiced by George Costanza. They're fantastic, and making Clayface who was an actor who used this, mm-hmm. but like making him just like a really desperate like method actor of like what's his motivation to change. It's so well written and it's so funny. And
I mean, here's the thing: you could give Alan Tudyk anything, he's going to turn it to gold. So
yeah,
that's the genius
there. Well, that's two words to sell me on any property. Just say the words Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: if you have 22 minutes to watch the pilot tonight, you will be up all night like watching it. That's what happened to me. Is like I heard it was good, and I was like, yeah, I'm sure it's good. And I watched the pilot, and then I was like, I need to watch all of this immediately. When do all the other seasons come out? How can I get on this show? Never sleep again. Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem, Gina. I've started my rewatch of the Loop in the Third Cinematic Universe. Now that I found out
if he's joking or not,
the entire
I can't tell.
I've never seen season two before. So they're all 155 episodes are currently free on Tubi, and I'm now two episodes into it. So I've got 153 more to go. So before I can watch anything else, I need to, as a palate cleanser, I need to watch every season two Lupin.
Things concurrently with my watches. I've been watching that classic Doctor Who for 6 years. Also currently watching Arrow, and like I said, rewatching the animated Justice League and Avengers. I think I will probably watch Hacks next because it's nominated for an Emmy, and I am an Emmy voter.
Pretty good, yeah.
And I. As much as I've been resisting it, feel like just based on the number of nominations, I need to watch The Crown and Bridgerton, which is both of my most hated genres, or period pieces.
Don't need them. That's fine. I mean, look, I've also got to get caught up on my Knowing It's Half the Podcast Cinematic Universe rewatch.
So you can get started on that spreadsheet.
That's right. And I figure, you know, it took you about 6 years to do. So at the time, it took me about 6 years to handle the whatever it was been 6 years of our show. Don't worry about that.
I mean, look, you might have a long commute coming up, so you could probably get through it pretty fast if you listen to it on the way to work and then back from work every day.
If I was committed, I could bang out 3 or 4 episodes a day, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to do that to myself. I lived it once. Isn't that enough, Gina Ippolito?
You'll rediscover so many Easter eggs.
But to be fair, I did listen to when we posted, what was it, the Mortal Kombat episode for the season 2 Mortal Kombat episode, just as like a little thing when we watched the movie. I really enjoyed listening to it. And that made me feel like a real shitheel. As yeah. I'm just like, fuck, yeah. We're funny.
No.
And I'm like, I'm very funny.
We're
and
delightful.
I feel like such an asshole.
Are you kidding me? Smart, sexy Ginas.
No, thank you. Yeah, okay. Thank
all
you.
All three of us are.
We're just a pile of Ginas. That's all we are.
Pile of Ginas in a Ray and Chan suit.
That's right. We're just three Ginas in a Ray suit. That's all we are.
A collection, the collective noun for Ginas is a binge of Ginas.
A binge in case you're wondering. Of Ginas. Oh, shit. Well, guys, we're not going to improve upon that at all. So that's this episode. We've talked enough for one day. Thank you all so much for listening. We do have again on Sunday. It would be July 18th, 2021 at 1 p.m. All patrons are invited. Check the Patreon feed. We're going to put a link in there. And so if you want to join Patreon and join us for Operation Star Raider, G.I. Joe Find Your Fate number 1, we're going to be doing that this weekend, Sunday. Be a part of it. We would love to see all of your smiling faces, and you can help make the decisions and share your feelings and just be a part of the show. It's really fun. Maybe don't share too many feelings, but you will be a part of the show, and it'll be wonderful. That's patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Just type that into your browser. It'll take you right to it, and you can do the rest. Otherwise, you can check us out facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You can check us out at Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast. But individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And that will do it for tonight. Another successful episode of G.I. Joe Extreme. We'll see you next week with some kind of a crossover.
Oh.
Situation critical.
Roll call!
Ballistic. Harpoon.
Mayday.
Blast Dragon.
Thunder Savage.
Greek Sight.
Metalhead.
Right, Lieutenant.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like,
is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.
So,
the odds are 1,000,000 to 1.
And that's the way we like it!